Welcome to the Monthly Trainwreck, a show entirely based upon anonymity. We only go by alias names, so our professional lives may never cross. Even our guests go undisclosed to protect the innocent. Recorded in our top secret headquarters, this episode we interview a professional spirit guide who will only go by the name Inner Arrow. We take a look at astrology today and discuss the life of a psychic. Today's episode is brought to you by our favorite veteran-owned company, Zukinlu Hats. Make sure to check them out at our website, monthlytrainwreck.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to grab that cocktail and climb all aboard! Welcome, train wreckers. Thanks for tuning in to this episode that I am super excited about because I am her biggest fan. We have Inner Arrow with us, our spiritual guide. But before that, Hollywood, skeptic or believer?
Total believer.
Total believer. Maddie?
Skeptic, but I am open-minded.
Okay.
That's good.
Kramer?
I would put myself in the skeptic camp. Yeah.
Skeptic?
For sure. Okay. Yeah, I'm open-minded because I'm curious, but I like to analyze it and break it down and see what's what.
Okay.
How about you?
Originally, I was a skeptic. I had a crazy experience with Inner Arrow, and this is why we're here today, and we flew you in here.
Yeah,
at
no
the
problem.
Top secret
Love
headquarters.
To
good to be back in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah. First-class accommodation.
And as always, we start with our screwball whiskey shot. Warm everybody up here. Cheers.
Cheers. To Inner Arrow.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for coming.
Sweet.
Smooth.
Legit. Ooh, that's
good. Yeah,
yeah, it is right? Good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Dangerous. Wait, like
we have more.
Yeah. It's on tap.
Wow. All right. Can we pause the podcast now?
Pause. Refill. Here we go.
Let's get loose, everybody. Make some bad decisions.
Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at Zukinlu Hats, favorite veteran-owned company. Oh, yeah. Check it out.
These hats are awesome, by the way.
Yeah, this is my new Zukinlu hat.
Check this out.
What
you put this on, and then it attaches to the outer hat. For
really?
Those of you just listening, you're going to have to go to the website and check it out.
Right.
Huh.
So a hat within a hat?
Oh.
It's like two hats that
keep
can go together.
Warm.
You have a beanie. You have a protector. A brim.
Sun hat all year round, even when there's no sun.
Oh, that's a cool invention.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
So our friends
Who knew you could improve on the hat?
There's always room for improvement.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also we our friends over at Spiders Bedding Gloves.
Love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There, say hello.
Shout out to Hambone, who's skiing in Utah.
We're
going
to miss him. Hambone, if you listen to this, I'll see you on the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Inner Arrow,
yeah.
This is the name of your business, correct?
Yes.
And also, you have a website that's...
launching soon. 2020 is the year.
InnerArrow.com.
Yes, InnerArrow.com.
All right. And if email us at info@monthlytrainwreck.com, and we're happy to get Inner Arrow's information to you.
Great. Love it.
We're going to start with the famous first question.
Okay.
Which is, being a spiritual guide,
okay,
have you ever had a psychic moment that came true that shocked you even, that where you were like, oh man, this is big?
I've had, I would say, two, and actually one was fairly recent. The other one was a long time ago. Which one do you want to hear first?
The long time ago.
Start with
that one.
All right. Well, I got to give you a little background, how the psychic kind of abilities...
That was my first question. Like, tell us how this whole thing started.
Okay. We get away from the famous first question and make it the famous third question or fourth, maybe?
I'll lead in that
direction. We'll come back around.
Yeah. All right.
Ever since I was a child, I'm an only child, and my parents thought I had some kind of strange gift. ESP, I think they called it, like in the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was mainly based around dreams I would have or places that I had never been that I would describe like I have been there. I don't remember a lot of that. That's like stories from my family. But I did find out in my lineage that a lot of the women, I'm half Filipino. So a lot of the women on my Filipino side of the family had this talent, gift, whatever you want to call it. They're a little more superstitious in the Philippines. So a lot of the people there really believe in, has a little tribal kind of mentality there. They believed in that stuff. And I don't know if it was, I can't say if it was passed to me or not, but it's somewhere in my lineage. So as I was growing up, it would just be very sporadic, strange kind of dreamlike situations where I would think something was happening or get nervous that something was going to happen, and then I would tell that person and it would happen. But the background I wanted to give you to that question was that for some reason from my teenage years through, I would say, maybe about my late 20s, it always came more so with my male friends. And I don't know why. I had a lot of male friends growing up and still kind of do, but I didn't have it with women as much. very strange, and I would always kind of like attach to one person for a significant amount of time, and then it would kind of go away and then attach to someone else. To answer your question, I was living with a friend of mine in my mid-20s and a roommate of mine, and I woke up, had a dream that his brother got a girl pregnant. Now, his brother at the time was 21, I think, something like 20, 21. And I told my friend, I said, hey, look, I had this dream. You know, I have this thing once in a while. I really think you need to call your brother. And he's like, he's not even dating anyone. Like, what are you talking? I'm like, I don't know. I know when these dreams feel like the psychic dreams and when these feel like just whatever dreams. And this one was legit. So he didn't believe me. Like, whatever. And then the next day, his brother came over and he's like, I gotta talk to you. And he's like, what? What? He's like, I like slept with this girl and she's fucking pregnant. And I was like, oh my God. He's like, are you kidding me? So that was probably my big aha. One of the big ones were because they were good friends of mine and it ended up being like a difficult situation, obviously.
How old were you at that time?
27, 28. Okay. Something like that. So that was like one of those situations where, you know, your friends are looking at you like, because I was adamant. I was like, nope, it's happening. Like, you might need to make that phone call.
So this is before you decided this was like the path you were going to go down, like,
I've always been into the occult. Like, I've always been into like the teenager that's like, let's play light of, you know, light as a feather, stiff as a board, let's do the Ouija board, let's do, you know, like, I found a huge fascination with that stuff. I don't know why, but always have. I grew up in a really religious family, so that was very faux pas.
What did your parents think?
Well, my dad was a Catholic priest before he married my mother, so very, very Catholic.
That sounds like a whole other podcast.
That is a whole nother podcast.
Catholic priests got married.
Yeah, yeah, that is, they have literally one of the most interesting stories, and I won't get into it. Needless to say, that was frowned upon in my household. So, but again, my mom being Filipino had this very tribal-like background of like, yes, we had mystics in our village, you know, like, that's not that strange. My dad was the one that was like, that's the devil. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do tarot and that kind of, you know, like, that's the devil's work. And I'm like, well, I don't believe that, but okay. So I guess like not until I would say in the last 5 years did I really take it seriously. I always did readings, like tarot readings for friends, just do it for fun, and it would be this constant joke, like, hey, inner arrow, you need to answer this question, or someone that has a question for you, what do you think, or how do you feel about it? It'd always be like, what are you feeling, what do you feel, you know?
You're like, so, I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And bored.
Yeah.
And bored with your questions.
I'm sick of you asking me questions, yeah. Yeah. Again, I wouldn't call myself, you know, there are a lot of extremely gifted psychics, which some people believe that, some people don't. I 100% believe that from my own experience with other people. I wouldn't claim to be that. I would claim to be more of a channeler of energy, tapping into a different kind of collective consciousness.
So, as a spiritual guide, mm-hmm. We'll say psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
You've picked up other trades, mm-hmm. the tarot cards, mm-hmm. astrology. Mm-hmm. What else goes along with that? Is there?
Well, there's numerology. I like numerology. It's a little too mathematical for me. Astrology is very scientific too. Like, a lot of people think that astrology is kind of bullshit and it's just a, you know, like, they're skeptical about it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a hard science. If you really research it, it's very mathematical. It's very precise. That's why we have to know your birth time. We have to know exactly what the sky looks like at the moment you're born and where you're born. I would say astrology, numerology, tarot cards, mediums are kind of in that realm.
Do you do that? Do you?
No.
No.
So that's a different, the way I would classify that, if you're interested, is a medium is someone who actually has a direct link to the afterlife or people who have passed, and they get messages from those people directly.
Are those like seances? Is that the same thing or no?
No. They're people who literally can talk to the dead. They are...
And you've seen this?
I have seen this. I absolutely believe it. I've actually taken classes from some mediums that I respect. Very different type of gift. You know, it's the I see dead people
right
type of gift, right? And I would say most people think that's scary, but from all my experience with mediums that I know, it's not evil. Messages are of positivity and love and support, and to say, I'm here helping you on your path. So it's not a scary thing. The type of psychic ability that I have is not a direct to people who have passed. Like, I don't see any of that. I've never seen a dead person. Never seen that. What I feel is more energetic. I feel like I tap into what I call collective consciousness, which, again, people are skeptical about. But there's a theory that we all are of the same memories, okay? So that there's a third eye. In the Vedic astrology, they believe that heavily. In Eastern medicine, they believe that heavily. That type of energy, like I could tap into any one of you and see your past all the way through your future.
So what and am anyone I thinking could do now?
That. Yeah. I wish I was that good. I'd be a billionaire.
Yeah.
But that's a different type of thing. So a lot of times they call people like that an empath, which I would say is what I am more so, where I can feel what the other person is feeling. Like really feel it, you know, like feel kind of unconscious types of things that they're going through at the time or they've been blocked with.
Is that exhausting? I mean, if you take on extreme sorrow or pain.
It is. But I've actually done some work. It's called, you know, doing energy work to put up boundaries and blocks to other people's negative energy, because there are a lot of people that walk around with very low vibrational negative energy.
Kramer's
got it. I felt it from across the room.
Can't See? You? I mean, it's just constant.
Shut up. So, yeah, I mean, going along with that exhausting comment. So before you knew how to put up these blocks, was it something where you'd pick up on an individual, but if you were in a crowd, could you feel everybody or was it just one person?
Yeah.
How was it?
Sometimes if I'm in a certain type of, I'm very sensitive to spaces, I would say. Walking into someone's house, I can for sure tell you if you have a negative presence in your house or not. And you're going to ask me?
What did you feel in the headquarters?
You want to know?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I felt tension. Not good or bad.
Did you meet the dog?
Yeah, the dog's great.
No, that dog has so much tension.
No, that's different.
Could have been my back. Different. My back is really tense right now.
That's true. That different, though. Animals give off a very pure type of energy, you know, very different. If you believe in this, if you want to not be a skeptic, it's the reason yoga got very popular. It's the reason a lot of spiritual practice have gotten popular, because meditation, yoga, any type of Reiki practice, which is energy healing, cleanses your energy and kind of resets you, because we're all made up of all the material energy. That everyone is made up of the same thing. Everything gives off an energy. Some people absorb things more than others, and some people give off something more than others, but we all give off a certain vibration. So it's about tapping into that.
Were you able to see where the tension comes from?
No, that I'd have to like sit with for a while. But if it's a crowded place, it gets a little mixed up, to answer your question, Kramer. Mm-hmm. A space, like I said, a space holds something more for me than like a huge crowd of people. That's too jumbled for me. But something like, you know, family's home or let's say an office space or something like that, I can feel what the vibe has been like for a while, you know, because it sits. Like unless you know, energy wants to move. So unless you want to move it and change it, it's going to kind of stay what it's been.
Can someone come in and change that energy?
Absolutely. Totally. I was told once, this is kind of a cool story. Again, this was in my path of not really believing in this stuff yet. I had met a friend of mine for the first time. We became really good friends later. And he's from England. The first day we met at his apartment with some other friends. And he said to me, I didn't tell you this when we first met, but when you first came into the room, I saw this white light around you. And I was like, what? You're smoking too much. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, no, I don't know. It was really weird. Like, I saw this kind of white light around you. And where I'm from, in England, we have supernatural activity in the city, this town that he's from in North England. We're just really accustomed to that stuff, you know? So he's like, have you ever looked into that? I'm like, no. So later on, he told me the story. And then even past that, he had a very negative energy in his home. That he believes in ghosts, he believes in that stuff. And he said, when I was there for a while, when I left, he never felt the negative energy ever again. And I've been told that multiple times, that I'm like a healer, energetically a healer. And I would say I'm starting to believe that more. The more experiences I have with people, I believe that. But I've been told that, those kind of things my whole life.
Can we go back a little bit in your having this ability to, I don't know, you said you refer to yourself as an empath, I guess.
Yeah.
When you were younger.
Yeah.
Was that hard to manage when you were, let's say, you know, when you were in your youth in high school or middle school? Was that something that you didn't understand what was going on, but you felt all of this? And
this is the way I feel about any gift someone has. I don't think it's ever a bad thing. I think people have gifts for a reason, and it never feels wrong or stressful or that you shouldn't tap into it. So I've never actually felt anything negative about that gift. People who are in need of healing, anything from addictions to usually more, you know, emotional issues or mental issues. Like, they are very attracted to me, and I've had that my whole life. They energetically almost kind of feel me, and because I'm healing. So when I was young, I feel like I had a lot of people around me that I didn't know how to put that boundary up yet. But it didn't feel... Like, I didn't feel like, what is this thing that I have that...
You didn't take on those negative feelings.
Yeah, I didn't
understand why you were feeling it.
No, I didn't take it on as much. It was just over my adulthood that I really had to be careful as to who I was allowing close in my life. Because a lot of times, I think people who have this type of gift, like, just draw in people that are in more need of healing than they are able to give.
Are you able to take that tension with you today?
No.
Well, can I ask you a question? Or is this,
Yeah.
Am I right?
You know, you're in a household with...
He's married.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's always a veneer of tension right there. Right?
But there's teenagers.
Yeah. There's day-to-day stuff that, I mean, I guess, does it separate out from...
I mean, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Leading the witness. This is it's a two-way street. Yeah.
You know, there's an interesting book, and the name is escaping me right now, but a lot of you would know Michael Crichton, who was a famous writer and I think Harvard medical doctor. But he wrote a book. He did a lot of this exploration, and I was a fan of his, and I think I've read all of his books. And that one, it gets way out there, and it talks a lot about the things that you're talking about, where he was, you know, training himself to be able to see energy that people all give off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certain different vibrations and energies. And so it was pretty fascinating. I mean, he was definitely into it. I mean, he was a believer.
Surprisingly, there have been a lot of leaders, CEOs, very successful people who swear by astrology. Like, they won't make moves.
Ronald Reagan
was one.
Nancy.
Yeah.
And Nancy got him into it, I think.
Rockefeller was another. Hmm. He would not invest unless it was astrologically the right timing. That's history, though. Like, I think we're a newer culture. I think, you know, if you look to the East, they've been believers in this type of stuff for much longer than we've been around.
Yeah, so astrology, what exactly, you know, how does that work? It's a sort of nature versus nurture, so it's, you know, just part of, and I guess I'll jump back. I mean, I said, and I am a skeptic of all things, but I'm a person of faith, so I'm like your dad. Mm. I'm on Team Jesus myself. Mm-hmm. So I have faith, and I believe in higher power, and I always like to tell people in conversations like this that I absolutely state that I do not have all working knowledge of the universe. You know, I start with that. I'm open to, or just being fair and saying, you know what, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
But I think skepticism comes in is, you know, when we had a previous podcast with a gentleman who joined a cult that was very unhealthy, you know, and there's a lot of people seeking and looking for things. So then I think the skepticism comes in is if people are taking advantage of it or they're, you know, bilking people for money. But even when you go to church, you give money, right? So people are skeptical of that. So this astrology then is that's getting into sort of about cycles and stars and sun and things of that nature.
Yeah, and every astrologer has a different take as to what their vantage point is of it, right? I come from a very strong psychological background. That was my undergrad was in forensic psychology, so I'm extremely fascinated with how the mind works. My point of view, not everyone has this point, but my point of view about astrology, it is another roadmap to your personality, okay? To knowing about yourself, just like, you know, if you took, I'm sure you've taken like a Myers-Briggs test, right?
Yep.
We've all kind of done something like that.
I ace that thing.
Yeah, right? 100%.
Ass, not ace.
Oh.
That was the result.
But it's similar in that way. Like, you take a test like that and you get that information. You're like, oh, cool. I'm a ENTP. And then you act like an ENTP, right? Is it nature? Is it nurture? I don't know. But there is something very informative about it. And there is a lot of truth to it. So astrology kind of, for me, is based in that a little bit. Again, it's a science. It's very mathematical. There's a certain percent that's interpretation of those charts. But the actual aspects and everything from when you were born and what was going on in the sky is only one thing. So it's information that I've always found to be very accurate with people as to how they go about life. I don't really believe in the horoscope, cosmos, you know, what's going on February with your man. To me, me, like, okay, that's kind of bullshit. But to really to learn about yourself and what your strengths are, particularly in any type of interpersonal dynamics. You know, marriage is a huge one. We all know it's tough to navigate around another person. Work relationships, any of that. I think astrology is huge. Like, I think it gives you some access to information that you just didn't have before. And you can not use it as a prediction of behavior, but use it as an acknowledgement of, okay, like, this is some of my weaknesses. These are some of my strengths. And how do I utilize this?
So here's the part that I'm excited about, and I just want everyone who's listening to be clear that this is the first time Inner Arrow has met most of the train wreck, correct, minus myself.
Yep, true.
Yeah. And we gave her our birth dates and actual times of being born,
birth,
which is very important.
Just to put it simply, where you are born on this planet, right above you, what was happening in the sky at that time is what your astrological chart looks like, okay? It's like it's a snapshot for that exact place and time, what the stars look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes some sense to me. I am a believer in, I personally see an incredible amount of order and math and cycles in this world that we live in and experience. So that would make some sense to me that maybe there's some overarching generalities for people born during this season or this time frame or this cycle, I guess.
And yeah.
I mean, is that sort of what it gets to? It's just,
yeah.
Now here's my other question though. Like, who's collecting all this? Have people been collecting this data, like doing the research,
forever,
like following?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like if you think about it, I find it really fascinating. Let's say, I mean, I don't know how you guys met your spouses, but you know, like a dating app.
At a bar.
Right. Okay. But if you go on a dating app right now, like if you're putting in something in your profile, they're going to ask you what your sign is. There is some inner hardcore belief that we all have that, I may be skeptical, but there's something to this. You know, there's something to the whole astrology thing. I mean, it's been Egyptian time. They studied the star. That was their calendar. Like, it's how they studied. Their whole life revolved around those cycles, you know? Like, I mean, I think as human beings, we want to live according to time. Some would argue, especially in my field, that time is irrelevant, particularly on the tarot side. Was what I do in the tarot side, time is not like it is in astrology. Astrology is hard facts. Tarot is energy and non-factual, tangible things. So the blending of the two is, I think, where the most information comes from. But human beings have been studying the stars for as long as we can remember.
How does that tie into religion? I mean, if you think, if this is what you believe in, it also may still lend you to believe in a higher power of sorts that organized all of that.
Yeah.
You know, a grand architect of sorts. Does it, are they somewhat cohesive or do you view them as very separate or?
No, everyone has their own belief system. I believe in God. I believe in a higher power. I believe in that. Traditional religion is different from me, but I absolutely believe in the grand scheme of everything happens for a reason and we are guided above what we see in front of us. And so I believe in that. Not everyone believes in that. You can study astrology and not be a believer in that. You can study tarot and not be a believer in that. But it's very similar. Like it's the mystery of our universe, right? It's like there's nothing we can really say astrology agnostic, but there's nothing you can really say about whether or not it's true or not true. Just like you can't say if, you know, God is true or not true. There is a mystery to it for some reason makes sense and people tap into that and have a highly beneficial relationship with astrology and tarot and energy healing. That I think is like religion.
Well, interestingly, and people could write in, correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you look into the nativity story, the Magi were astrologers. Mm-hmm. And so a part of that mention in a Hebrew Bible or a Hebrew story shows that there were non-Hebrew people, astrologers, Magi, like magic people, and that this was their kind of belief system, but even they are part of the nativity story. So that's kind of interesting. People could write in and tell me if I'm wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure I heard a sermon on that one time.
So my father was a Catholic priest,
right.
And I remember when I told him for the first time that I was reading tarot for people, and I thought, oh my God, he's going to flip his lid, just be like, the devil's work, stop doing this. And I was extremely surprised. He said, you know, I think that's a good thing you're doing. I'm like, really? I'm shocked. I thought this would be against all of your, I mean, he is an amazingly spiritual man, even to this day. Respect him highly for it. And I'm like, why? Like, how does this fit your narrative? And he said, I believe God gives us all gifts And I've known since you were young that you have this gift. Just like other people in the world are doctors who heal, you know, through medicine, there's people that heal through psychic ability or psyche. And I think it is from God. That's my take.
Yeah, what makes me nervous sometimes is, as a person who does believe in good and evil, then I'm just a little terrified. I don't like to mess with things I don't know and understand, right? I just want to make, you know, I tell friends and family, I'm like, you know what, I don't mess with evil. Like, I just turn away, I run from that. Mm-hmm. So that's the part I guess kind of mentioned the occult and things like that. And that makes me nervous.
And I think tarot, for sure, got a bad rap with that. I mean, I was born in the 70s. Like, I remember the horror movies, you know, like witchcraft and all that stuff. Right? I think that's gotten kind of a cult pop culture kind of stereotype.
I think James Bond got the death card in one of the Goldfinger, maybe? I don't remember.
I don't remember
it's
that.
It's been New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's my biggest
fear. One raise getting, in New Orleans.
Getting that one card.
Though. I hope S2H better not get the death card later.
Well, I'll tell, just so you guys know, if you ever go to New Orleans or walk into a tarot card reader, if someone tells you that you are cursed and that you need to pay me $400 to get rid of your curse, bullshit.
I was going to ask you about scammers. Because with all these different things that are out there, tarot card readers, you know, astrology, or even a crystal ball, you know, there are a lot of scammers.
There's a ton of scammers out there. Right. I don't believe that most people that get into this have, you know, ill intentions. Sometimes they aren't maybe gifted in it as much as they would like to be, or they just want to make money from it. I do think that's these days rare and far between. I think that's been kind of Hollywoodized.
But even
that's right? Hollywood.
Absolutely, that's true. That's true.
Hollywood
started that.
What's your? I mean, you like this stuff.
I do.
Your favorite story about this? I mean, you've had this done multiple times?
No, I haven't done multiple times. Like I'm 20. Just fascinated, like you say, about learning more about your personality and like what a strength would be. Or I remember as a child, not as a child, my mother took us to a medium and this man went into this altered state and would talk about our past lives too. Mm. I just find it fascinating. I believe in angels. Yeah. I believe we have guardian angels. And to me, I find a lot of comfort in that. Like someone is watching out for me and protecting me. And to me, it brings me a sense of peace. And I know some people who are skeptics think like, oh my gosh, including my husband. He's like, it's kind of wacko. It's crazy. It scares me. But to me, I find comfort in it. And so
I would think your husband would believe in angels, actually.
I don't think so. I think he just, well, I don't know about angels, but I think when I said we were going to talk to an astrologer, he just kind of, you know, rolls his eyes.
He told me I was an angel last week and thought I was really something special. I think
your point about it brings you peace. It's done nothing but positive things in your experience to you. So where's the evil come in? I don't know. But
right.
It doesn't take you away from a relationship with God or your own religion, perhaps. Right. But
I mean, can you believe in God and not believe in ghosts?
Sure.
You think
I don't
so?
Know. Yeah. I mean, I believe in God and I believe in ghosts. I've actually had a crazy haunted house. So I have multiple amazing stories. And I was really a big, you know, I guess I didn't really think about ghosts until, you know, you'd hear like dishes smashing downstairs and go downstairs in your underpants and there's like nobody there and nothing's broken. So that's
three o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon.
That's a whole other subject that's very fascinating. Yeah.
By the way, we do have a ghost hunter coming on the show.
Nice. Yes. I like it. It's all related. See, like to me, that's, you know, religion, ghosts, energy healing, collective consciousness, like the cosmos, like it's all related. It's all like humans just wanting to find their place and feel comforted that there's something bigger than themselves, right?
Well, and I referenced, you know, I said how it ties into religion and as well, but whatever you believe in, it's your perception of this grand design that what we believe in is there's God who designed it all. But maybe the way you see it is differently than how maybe others see it.
Right. Yeah, that's why when I practice tarot, people always ask, because a lot of times when I'm practicing, I'll say the word spirit says, you know, spirit's advice or something along those lines. And people say, well, who are you talking to? And I'm like, no, this is for you. So like whatever you believe. You believe in angels, they're your angels. You believe in God, they're your God. You believe in just the power of the universe, it's the universe, you know? So yeah, I think it's not a one person viewpoint, you know, like at least what I think and what I do. It's just related to what your core beliefs are. I mean, I've had a friend who had an exorcism type of situation in their house, and very strong Christian, and she didn't believe in this stuff. And she talked to me about it. She thought I could help her. And I said, you know, I don't think I can help you with this. What do you believe in? You know, and she's like, well, I believe in God. Like, I believe in Jesus. I believe in my church. I'm like, okay, well, then those are the people you need to talk to. And those are the people that need to show up and pray with you.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible mentions demons, you know. Google Legion, and Jesus talked about it all the time, so.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of power in intention, right? Which is really what religion is. It's what I do. There's a lot of power in that. People have gotten healed, you know, just because they believe it to happen.
What kind of feedback do you get normally after a tarot card reading? Do people are like, do they call you months later and be like, guess what? This happened. And
yes.
You called it.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you a story that happened recently. This was a difficult one for me, I will say. So I had a woman who came to me. She was pregnant. I've been doing her cards for a while now. So we weren't new to each other. And she wanted to have a reading before her baby was due. I'm a little mixed as to whether I want ethically to do that anymore. I'm still kind of processing this. But I did it a week before she was due. And during her reading, it was a awful, terrible reading to the point where I actually stopped it and said, I don't feel comfortable going any further. I don't think this is going to be helpful or a good idea.
Could you see what was going to be happening? Or is that
why
you felt
uncomfortable? Yeah, and it's loose. There's still a vagueness. It's like, I'm not, again, I know there's a lot of gifted psychics out there. I'm not one of those people that says, this is exactly going to happen.
Sure.
That's not my style. My style is supposed to be more healing, emotionally healing than anything else. Regardless, she was the type of person that was very much wanted to know. You know, she's like, I don't care. I don't care what it is. Am I going to die? Like, what's happening here? Like, tell me. And I'm like, okay, well, I do think that you have a potential of dying during this delivery. And she said, me or my baby? And I'm like, well, that I can't see very clearly, but it is absolutely surrounding this delivery. Absolutely, 100%. I guarantee it. Like, that's how strongly I felt about it. Needless to say, her husband actually came in to the reading. She was that freaked out. I felt terrible. I started questioning, like, is this something I want to do for people? And she looked at me and she said, because I've been doing her cards for a long time, and she said, I've always believed in you. Whatever you have to say, I believe I need to hear. All right. Reading ends. For that whole week, I was just stressed out. Like, the whole time, I was like, I don't even want to do this anymore. Like, this is, I can't explain to you. This is the part I can't explain, but because of the empath, I can feel it. And when I do these readings, I can feel the feelings. So it was so intense for me. I'm like, what do I say to her? I want to be wrong. But at the same time, if I'm wrong, completely wrong, then I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. It really rocked my world. So anyway, the husband started getting just as freaked out and told me, he called me that week and he said, I didn't tell you this. We went to a psychic years ago and the psychic told us if we were to have a baby before February of 2020, your wife might die. So I was like, okay. Why did you not tell me this, for one, after this reading? Secondly, I'm all about healing. I'm not about scaring people or shocking them. That's not my style. I want people to feel good after these readings. I do not want you and your wife to go into this hospital and deliver this baby and think of the worst outcome possible. And he is a very spiritual guy. And he said to me, which I thought was amazing, he said, none of this is in our control. What you said is what you said. Like, I believe that we can't control any of this. So whatever you said, is this has nothing to do with you.
You're just an information carrier.
Just a messenger.
Right?
Just a messenger.
Yeah,
so, right.
Yeah, just exactly. A messenger. You know, it posed to the ethics of the message.
And it feels bad to break someone's heart. It's like, I'm a message carrier, and by the way, I've got really bad news.
And I mean, I will say, most people say they want to hear that stuff, but when it comes down to it, they don't want to hear it.
It's like a bad diagnosis.
Well,
I mean,
right.
You go to the doctor, and it doesn't change the condition.
The outcome.
But
the
doctor doesn't want to have to tell you, but it's still the information that's there. It just needs to be known.
And again, every reader's different, but I've always been a super practical person. Like, I'm not one of those really woo-woo type of hippie girls, you know? Like, there's always a side to me. Like, I am kind of scientific. But the end of the story was that she went to the hospital, had the baby. I got a text in the middle of, like, right after the baby was born from the husband, and the husband said, we're all okay. It's all okay. Things are great. I'm like, oh, wow, totally relieved. I felt wonderful about it for them. And then the next day, I questioned what I was doing. Sure. Said, I don't like this at all. That was not cool.
I thought you were going to say, and the next day they got hit by a bus on the way home from...
That's like a Final Destination kind of stuff.
So they were okay. They were okay in the end. It's everything's all
well,
right.
Well, I'm not finished.
She's not done.
Oh,
I know.
Gosh.
Quiet.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. On my side of it, I really questioned my gift, myself, doing this for other people. Because again, I will say very clearly, I want to do this for it to be healing and helpful, not for scare tactic or show or entertainment. You know, 2 days later, I said, can I come and see your baby? Like, I want to come see you. Like, I feel so happy that everything's okay. And she's like, yeah, absolutely. So I go there that day. Everything's great. Perfect. Baby's beautiful. And then at 3 a.m. that night after, or, you know, the next day after I went to see, I got a text from the husband saying that she was rushed to the hospital and she had preeclampsia after birth, which is really rare. Very rare to have once you give. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she is not doing well. So literally out of nowhere, I was like, oh my God, she wasn't able to talk for a day. She ended up being in the hospital for 10 days and she's still not recovered.
Wow.
Again, she didn't die, thankfully. And she texted me at the hospital and she said, the one thing you said to me in that reading, which resonated with me when I was laying on the bathroom floor, was you said, you're going to feel like you're dying. And she said, I can't tell you how much I felt like I'm dying. And I felt like I'm dying for days. I don't know what that was about exactly, but
was she recovered,
still,
do you think?
She's not out of the woods yet.
Wow. So putting that aside, which that's incredible, but then how did you feel? Were you like, this is my jam? Because you probably had doubt, right? You were doubting yourself, like, I don't know if this is for me. I don't like this. And now, total...
Validated.
Validation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, a lot of readers will be like, yeah, like, I'm the best, and I'm going to tell you all this stuff. But I'm being super honest. I doubt half the things I say. But I also feel like these things need to be said. It's a very weird... strange.
How do you follow up on these when you do these readings with people and then they go off? And I mean, do you ask them to follow up?
I try to because I want to know.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll put it this way. Most people come back for a reading. They say, they'll tell me this particular woman, which again, very touched by both the husband and the wife. They're both very spiritual people. She texted me from the hospital and said, just one line said, please don't stop reading tarot. Because I told her, I'm like, I don't want to do this. This is crazy. Like, I don't want to tell people these bad things. And, you know,
I would assume they're okay. Then you telling the story, people listening to this.
Yeah. I actually told her that I thought I was going to tell the story because this was recent. I mean, obviously she's still not well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say as a religious man yourself, it's like being a parishioner. There's times in your life where you doubt God, you doubt a lot of what your beliefs are. And I will say, like a reader, I doubt a lot what I'm saying. At the same time, I haven't been really proven incorrect yet. She didn't pass away, which is fantastic. Obviously, I don't ever even want to give a reading like that. But I feel like most people come back and they say, I'm so glad you told me this, whatever the this is. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I heard this. I'm so glad I thought about what you said. Because when I'm reading, I just feel it and I say the messages that I think need to be said. And it really has nothing to do with me. I have no stake in it other than it's your messages. Mm-hmm. Like, it's your messages, you know?
Going back a little bit, how did you learn how to refine this? I mean, you had these empathetic or this empath ability when you were younger, but did you have a mentor? Did you have somebody that taught you how to read tarot? Are you self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught completely. There are tarot readers that I've kind of follow and like, you know, like it's kind of spiritual people. The tarot just kind of came to me as a teenager. I was like, these cards are really cool. Like, they're like so pretty. I don't know if you guys have ever seen them, but they're super fascinating. There's like some
pictures,
so many
colorful
symbols, and they go back to, you know, it's not just a recent type of
imagery.
And so, yeah, like it's really based in a lot of different type of religion and mysticism and history. So they're very fascinating. So I always found them fascinating. The reason I got it, like it clicked with the tarot, and I don't know how this happened, but my experiences with psychic stuff a lot of times came from reading. Meaning, like, if someone was reading a book, I would be able to know what they're reading. It always seemed to be based in words and had to do with someone reading something to do with reading. I never really understood that. I'm like, I don't like even get why this would be, important. But then when I came across the tarot, I felt like that type of skill or gift, however you want to put it, that I had with being able to kind of once in a while see what someone was reading, it was very channeled with tarot. And I started thinking like, well, maybe that was a gift and that was a signal to me. The reading was part of how I was supposed to communicate these messages. And that's how it came about.
Maybe we should transition. Yeah, well,
I was going to say, we're not going to do the tarot, yep. But I want everyone to experience the astrology portion of it.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, we gave you our birth dates, our times.
Yeah, okay.
And I think we should start with the skeptics first. So they've had a chance to listen to you now, which has been fascinating.
Yeah, okay, good. So, this is what you guys are looking for?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Let's start with Maddie, and let's see what you came up with.
So we know that Maddie is, okay, let me give you a little preface. And this is a small, like a capsule, right? Sure. Of an entire chart. Like there's a lot of dynamics in a chart. But the basics that everyone should know, everyone always says, you know, they know their sun sign, which you should. And you should also know two other parts mainly, okay? Your sun sign, your ascendant, and your moon sign. Those are like the three basics of your chart. Mm-hmm. They're the most powerful, okay? Your sun sign reflects your personality, your ego, how you take your personality and use it in the world. It's your identity. So to give you like a kind of definition of that. Your ascendant, or your rising sign, as they call it, is the part of your chart that is very specific. This is why the time is very important, is the ascendant changes very quickly. The sun not as quickly. The ascendant has to do with what we call the mask. So when you first meet somebody, most likely you're meeting their ascendant. Most likely, you're not meeting their sun quite yet. Depends on how powerful that sun is, and there's some aspects there that can change that and modify that. But your ascendant is really like the face that you put on. And it's also kind of how I would say you view how you think you are. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's closer to how you think you are. Your sun, like, is your personality. Your moon is the inner world. The moon sign is how you really deal with security, safety, needs, like your internal workings of how you feel. It's very similar to those planets. Like they, it's not rocket science, right? Like, you know, sun is big and bright. Moon is very quiet and internal. So that being said, Maddie is a sun in Scorpio.
True. That's true.
It's true. Great.
Are you a believer?
Ding, ding, ding.
Are you a believer now?
That's the only thing I know.
That I am winner, a Scorpio. Winner. Okay. The ascendant is Sagittarius, which, again, we weren't exactly sure on your time. So that could technically be wrong, but we'll say it's right now. The moon is in Sagittarius as well. Okay.
Well, I don't know anything about a Sagittarius.
Right. What is that? So now I'm going to tell you. All right. Okay. Your sun sign, your personality, okay, your identity, Scorpio. Now, there are two types of Scorpios. There's the extroverted Scorpio, and there's a pretty brooding introverted Scorpio. I can't say without looking at your chart more specifically which one of those you are.
Extrovert.
But extrovert? Okay.
She's supposed to guess.
Just sorry.
That part,
I'm helping her.
Yeah. Generally speaking, sun and Scorpio, especially guys, you know, like women, there's a little bit of a modifier if it's a woman or a man, but are very ambitious, very deep. They're very deep people, and they're very...
This sounds spot on so far.
Yeah. They're very feeling people, okay? Scorpio gets a bad rap. They're usually, because they're the scorpion. So there is a yin and yang to every type of sign. I don't think anything's good or bad. It's just a balance. It's balance. So if you're a low vibrating Scorpio, you can be vindictive. You can be power hungry. You can be basically very manipulative. That's the lower vibration. The higher vibration of a Scorpio is very feeling, very caring and nurturing. Probably always has a little bit of a lust for power, right? That's always going to be there a little bit. The higher vibration ambition is to be successful, but not at the expense of others, obviously. If it swings the other way, it can be manipulative type of success. The Scorpios also, especially a man, I'll just be super clear, love sex.
This is spot on. Spot on.
And usually has a very, and I will say, and I'll say this really specifically, for men, male Scorpios, it's actually very important. It's transformative.
I really hope my wife is listening
yeah,
to this.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, mostly like, okay, she's my God. Like, okay, I know,
I think you can say that about every guy, can't
well,
you?
Well, see, I know. And this is what I want to differentiate. Yeah. That, okay? Your sexual life is the place where you connect. It's very important and very critical. And you can't just say it's because I'm a dude. Institute.
Yeah, you know, they have that book about the love languages, mm-hmm. which I have not read, but I have told my wife about that. I'm like, this is like, I think, really something important where you connect on a physical and mental. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Well, you should also, I've read it. You should read it yourself, because not only does it explain that to her, but it'll explain her to you.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, you might want to.
But it, like I would say,
is
like
that
if
the
I
men
was...
are from Mars and women are, or is it
that's
a different?
No, it's different.
Five love languages. Five love that's languages, right. Yeah. I think I read that.
Venus, men are from Mars.
But I would say, if I was with your wife right now, I would say, no, this isn't just a male thing. This is actually a Scorpio thing. This is a male Scorpio who actually, to feel connected to you, needs to have sex, usually a lot of it, and maybe experimentally. But it's very important. I mean, it's part of the personality.
Ooh! Bring that up next time.
Room to grow.
Sex laboratory where he's going to experiment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, informative, but it's true. It's true.
Well, I do hear my wife saying pretty often, again?
So, but now you have an excuse. Now you can say, well, I'm a Scorpio.
I need it. Yeah. I need
it's
it.
Part
it's
of
not
my
fault.
It's part of my being. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Part of who I am.
Yeah.
Look at the stars.
And also a Scorpio sun. Okay, just there are elements to your sign, water, earth, fire, or air. Scorpios are water signs. So what that means is that's where the deep feeling comes from. They have the most ability of all the signs to be like the rising phoenix, to destroy who they are and transform themselves. Hmm. Very deep feelers, though. So the moon part of you, Maddie, is Sag. Okay, so you're a Sag moon, Sagittarius. That is a little opposite of the Scorpio, which sometimes this is where these complex dynamics come in, right? A moon in Sagittarius guy, particularly, is an adventurer at heart, okay? They love freedom. They want to go out and they would be like the frontiersmen if they could. Those would be the dudes that, like, damn the torpedoes. Like, that, you know, that's maybe like a good moon in Sagittarius kind of dude, right? Like, just goes for it, very interested in learning about as much as possible at all times, and different than a Gemini. Geminis are more about information. Sagittariuses are more about bigger picture, conceptual, spiritual philosophy, like that type. With that conflict of the moon, like Scorpios, you know, are very deep. Sagittariuses is a fire sign. They like to be out in the world. So there's a conflict there a little bit. That shows you kind of like that kind of dynamic. There's always like a yin
makes me more rounded.
Yes.
I was going to say, does that mean he's more balanced or does that mean he's more conflicted? You know.
Well, everyone has these conflicts. Human beings are so interesting like that. Yeah, it's like it's moon, so that's internal, right? That's not like what most people see is the Scorpio. When you're with yourself in your own world, when you think of your thoughts, you know, what you think about, what you're attracted to informationally, anything, visuals, that's the moon. You know, like that's the stuff that, like, even talking about that much. Mm-hmm. That's the inner you. So Sagittarius moons also, they're just fun people. People love Sagittarius moons. They can get along with almost anybody.
He's the next mayor, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just really likable people. And I would say a mix, like if I was to say, like, okay, the mix, I don't know what aspects are. That's where the modification comes in. With that mix of Scorpio and Sag, like, especially if you're an extroverted Scorpio, then you would be Mr. Social. I would imagine very Mr. Social. The ascendant, this is nice when you say about conflict. This is where there's not conflict, which is great. Your ascendant is Sagittarius too. So sometimes if there's another sign there, then which usually is the case, then there's another element. Your ascendant, your mask or how you present to people is very similar to your internal. So even more so, I think people feel very comfortable with you. They probably could open up to you fairly easily and talk to you. You're, you know, Sag guys, particularly, they're super casual. You know, they don't have like a air about them at all.
That's pretty crazy. That really resonates with me. And I think if you gave that description to a lot of people and asked them about me, they would probably 100% agree with you.
Hmm.
My only question is, like, if you gave that same reading to Kramer, would Kramer feel the same way? Like, if I described all that to Kramer, would Kramer go, yep, that's me.
Well, should we do Kramer next? Like,
well, let's do Kramer. Yeah, because
Hollywood, if I said all that about you, would you?
No.
Right. You wouldn't say that.
No.
What about you? S2H over there. Scotty Too Hottie.
I would say that I resonate with some of it, but that fit you to a T.
Mm-hmm. That was freaking crazy how much that's like me. I was trying to just not like say that, but
the surface onion of the onion, yeah, just so you
that's
know.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
People tell me all the time that I should run for mayor.
Oh, you yeah. got I'm the well. You got the makeup that. For it. Right. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I would never do that, but it's crazy to me that people say that all the time, and people I know say that to me, and then people I don't even know that well, they're like, "Dude, you should run for mayor." And I'm like, "Why? Why would I do that?"
Well, I'm gonna give you a freebie because I wrote this down for everybody because I thought this was interesting. Is your North Node, which I find the most fascinating piece of the chart, which I wanted to just say. Just to give you another precursor to all astrology. The planets tell you what's happening. The aspects tell you how they're happening, which I don't have that part. And then the houses they're in tell you where it's happening. So there's a lot more in-depth stuff I could tell you, but I'm just telling you about the what. So your North Node is in Capricorn. Now, this is a very Vedic Eastern type of astrology, which I follow also. Your North Node, your South Node, your chart actually tell you about your purpose. When people say, this is not necessarily what your career is, but what you would do or what you need to always strive towards to feel fulfilled and to feel like you are growing more than anything else. You might be paid for it too. Might be in line. And if it is, that's great. But if it's not, it's just something you're going to always do. So your North Node is in Capricorn. I mean, your South Node is in Cancer, which is the opposite. The way they believe in Eastern astrology is the North Node is called your the dragon's head, and the tail of the dragon is K2, which is South Node. And it's in opposite signs. So they believe in past life, in all of your lives. You have brought in from your last life so these Cancer aspects and now are headed towards Capricorn. So Capricorn, what that means for you is that in your past life, you were the family man. You were super nurturing. Your immediate family or your extended family, you were very home-oriented. That's what you're very good at. So you look at your South Node as like, that's natural for me. I'm good at that. And you bring that into this life, but it's not your purpose anymore. When in this life, what you need to go towards is what you're always going to feel the most uncomfortable about, but you also feel like you need to do. And the Capricorn North Node for you is actually about work, okay? That's the opposite of home. It's the opposite. It's about diligently doing something that's work-related that has nothing to do being the nurturer and being the home, taking care of the home and the people involved in your family. It's about breaking away from the family and going towards being more independent and doing your own thing. Capricorns are all about independence and being on their own. So it's a very deep layer.
Doesn't that kind of coincide with what you're saying before with the aspects of Scorpio and then also the pioneer thing? And I mean, I don't know. Is that
It's a little different in the sense the nodes are, you look at it like your entire life, there's always something that you don't feel good about doing or being like, but at the same time, you always want it. It's like an insatiable, hungry part of your chart. Like I wanted, if I was to be-
That's crazy. Like my favorite thing is being home with my family. And I do love, I hope and think that I'm a pretty good, nurturing father, and it's like my favorite thing. But I am a business owner as well. It's a career. I mean, it's not my favorite thing, but I am very drawn to it. And I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. And I feel like I always should be working on it and improving it.
Yeah,
and
like
it still calls to me, even though I would rather just, it's not my passion. Like my family is my passion, but it does call to me. And I try to work on it.
And here's a question I'd ask you. And this is why I like astrology so interesting to me. You should ask yourself, are you passionate about it or are you just good at it?
I can't tell. Both sometimes. But, you know, I think all work and all, it's, you know, I like to say they call it work for a reason. It's still work.
Yeah.
So but I like to joke, if I could live this lifestyle and make this amount of money and impact these kind of lives by going skiing every day, I'd probably choose that. But
so why did you ask it that way? Are you just good at it? Or I mean,
well, because the South Node is a very comfortable place. It's where you feel, if you believe in this past life kind of thing, it's where you feel it's so natural. Like you don't even think about it. You don't even, your father, you said? Your father? You said
yeah,
your father.
Oh, I am a father,
I
yes.
would guess you don't question that. I would guess you don't question taking care of your
it's
family.
Cake. It's easy it's for me. Easy. It's so easy. Being a dad is awesome. Yeah. I mean, watching kids, like people, oh my gosh. And I'm like, I want to take my kids on vacation because it's great. I love doing stuff with my kids.
Yeah. So passion can be mistaken sometimes for comfortability, what we think we're really good at. That's where I'm saying that if you believe in this, the North Node is where you're super uncomfortable, but you also will never not be able to focus and try to achieve in that area. So
it's not so much maybe being good at it, it's afraid you're not good enough at it, and that's why he keeps pursuing it.
Capricorn thing, that is, Capricorns are usually in the horoscope, they're one of, particularly males, absolutely are business owners a lot of the times, or they just like to work very independently, whether they're entrepreneurial or they are a CEO, or like they like to run their shit. So I would guess for you, especially you said you're a business owner, that will be something you always think about and you're always trying to perfect. Because you do not, like, you have such a drive to be excellent at that, but you never quite feel like you are.
Is she blowing your mind?
It's, yeah, it's true.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's wild. Super cool. Wild. Mm-hmm.
Let's do the other Kramer. Skeptic here.
All right. Lay it on me.
All right, Kramer, what do we got? Sun in Cancer, Ascendant or Rising in Leo, and Moon in Pisces. Okay.
It's called the triple threat, right?
Yeah, in astrology, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen a chart like this.
Right. Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah. We have a unicorn here, folks.
I mean, you might as well just leave now. Yeah. I mean, the perfect human. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so accurate.
Okay, Sun in Cancer. I said we were going to get along. I will say I love your birthday.
Always loved that.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who actually have the same birthday.
Wait, why do you love his birthday?
For some reason. Okay. You are technically on the cusp, okay? You're a cusper, but in true astrology, you're a Cancer. A Cancer man in the sun sign, very warm-hearted. Might be a little guarded, like you're the crab, right? So crabs, if you look at it like the animal,
some days
they have the exoskeleton that's super hard and crabby, right? Like they're are a little skittish, but on the inside,
delicious,
so sweet, so nice, so caring, so you're just soft, mm-hmm. You know. And that is actually, to be honest, a Cancer male, especially a Cancer male son, particularly, they are great family men. They're just great with kids. They're great with people in the sense that they be able to empathize with others.
Does it matter that I'm on the cusp?
It does a little bit. It modifies it. Okay. So you have a little bit of a Gemini in you, which again, some astrologers say they don't believe in a cusp, but I kind of do. The Gemini adds a little element of an analytical side to you that isn't as feeling as the Cancer side. But more often than none, I would say you're still a Cancer. Now, they're usually also very good at friendship. He's the guy that's going to call you if you are feeling down, you know, like
Kramer cares about how you feel.
He does. It's
a true story.
He does. I mean,
he
care.
Sends you Valentine's cards and birthday cards. And
yeah.
That's just because I enjoy crafts.
Okay. Well, yeah, there you go. And usually has a really good sense of humor. Yeah. But Cancer males, particularly, usually self-deprecating a little bit, but yeah.
Sometimes.
Talk about your giant head. Yeah,
right. But very sweet. That's why I've always liked the Cancer man, because they're very sweet. Okay. So that's their sun sign, right? Your ascendant is Leo. Okay. So your rising sign is Leo. The Leo kind of modifies that particularly because they're right next to each other in the chart, and they're very different. So this is more conflictual than I think. Well, you know, this may be the same type of conflict. Leos are actually completely extravagant. They're the ones that like the show. They like to be ego-stroked. They're the lion of the zodiac. So they like to feel important, to feel like people stroke their ego. Now, that's your rising sign. So it's not actually who you are. It's this, the mask, right? This, how you present. So that the conflict there is that you're Cancer men are not about drama at all. Like, they don't want to be a part of it. But because of this Leo ascendant thing, either it's drawn to you or you have a flair for it if you want to present that way. Any way that it could be in humor, it could be in
karaoke
style.
Bars? Does it show up in karaoke bars?
Yeah,
that would be
totally
spot
is.
On.
Yeah. So it can be in the way, like, usually Leos, they just like to be on stage. They like to be front. You know, if you were a Leo sun, it would be very prominent. But a Leo rising is saying, like, when people meet you, they're not going to, particularly with a Cancer, they're not going to meet that inner sweet self of yours right away. That's going to take a minute. You're going to have to get to know you for a while before that comes out. They probably meet more of that fiery Leo side first. You know, someone that has more of a charisma, where Cancers are a little more free-flowing. Does that make sense?
I would say my wife would have described our initial meeting that way probably.
Yeah.
You know, I think she was putting on more charisma of a show at the time and then, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why it's kind of interesting because then the person gets to know you and they're like, oh, well, he's not as, you know, Leo's on the negative vibration. They can be a little too egotistical. Like she might have said, oh, he's not as actually egotistical. I thought he's actually very sweet.
Yeah. I don't know. Not sure.
Are there any bad signs? I mean, I was trying to listen to his and think like, did that apply to me? And it seems like there's a decent amount of overlap, right, on the positivity. And they seem like they're positive things, which you said before.
There's pros and cons to each one, I guess.
Yes, I think there's.
Are there any signs where you're like, oh, this is terrible?
For every individual, you will absolutely have. You'll find if you start doing charts of other people, you'd be like. That's why I said I would definitely get along with him. I know I would get along with him. I don't even have to. I know I would. Mm. But there'll be people that would say to you right off, like if you started looking at the people's charts, like you're grouping people in your life that you're actually really close to. And other people are like, oh, I hate that. I hate that sign. Or I can't stand that person. So it's not that the sign is bad. It's just what you're compatible with or what you like or dislike. Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah.
That's so what's like the Chinese menu. And it says marry a such and such and a such and such, right? Have you seen the signs on the, when you go
like the
on the border of the place? Mats
right,
or whatever.
Yeah. So you're okay. So that we did this, and then your moon sign is a Pisces, which is also water. So you're actually pretty watery, other than this like ascendant.
Yeah. Very saturated.
So a Pisces moon is interesting because the way I would say a male Pisces moon kind of expresses himself is take that Cancer and times it by two because it's your moon sign. So like you're really feeling. You're actually a very internally emotional person. And it's very important for you to feel connected to all. So when I say all, I don't mean just every person you meet. I mean humanity. If anyone was going to be charitable or someone that was teach people about how humans kind of connect and how we're all going through the same thing, man, that would be the moon in Pisces. They have like a little bit of a, almost like a hippie vibe to them. Like they kind of feel like everyone should get along. Everyone should understand that, you know, everyone goes through the rough things in the same way other people do. Like we're not that different.
I would say for the most part, it's pretty spot on. I'm not a hippie. I don't put myself in that camp, but I definitely...
Not externally. No.
Think definitely about the commonalities amongst people who tend to disagree. And that's where my mind goes is...
You're not a peacekeeper. You like to be a peacekeeper. Yeah. You do want to have like cohesive, make sure we don't offend.
I like to find more dignity in disagreement and find out where the common ground is.
That's dumb.
And I'd also guess, especially when you were younger, that you were a daydreamer.
Yeah. My teachers would agree. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'd say for the most part, that description is pretty close. I don't know. You guys know me somewhat.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
We've met once or twice.
Yeah. We've only...
I think that's spot on.
And I just want to point out that Inner Arrow was deciphering this from symbols. You didn't see what she was looking at, but once we gave her our information, she pulled these symbols out and deciphered them based on the signs, basically.
Yeah, and like I said, this is one layer of the onion. I haven't even gotten into aspects or what the houses are that these planets are in, and there's a lot of other planets out there that we haven't looked at. This is like your core, you know?
Right.
It's just what your core is, like what you're, like the backbone of who you are.
Let's do Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay. But last thing, you're also a North Node in Capricorn, like he is.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
And what was that again? Real quick. I mean, what was that?
Very family quickly, guy, but drawn to...
Drawn to independent, like independence breaking away from family. Drawn to being solo, either in work or... Sometimes it's even like, sometimes people that come from a certain type of family structure and they just... feel like they don't want that anymore. They want to be different than their family was. Mm-hmm. You know, like somebody's just based in tradition, like culturally, like what you were like, and you want to break away from that. Like that's also another North Node and Capricorn thing. But it's a very, very much about independence. Again, with all your water in your chart, you're probably great with family, particularly in your North Node. Can't, like, you got that down. I don't know what your situation is, but again, it could be parents, kids, doesn't matter, but anyone in your home-based type of experience you're great with. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a hard place for you. But being out in the world on your own, not caring what your family thinks that's very disheartening. Freak out a little bit.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. That's pretty cool. True.
Yeah. Spot on. All right, Hollywood.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, here we go.
All right.
This is where it gets ugly. Here's that one bad
thing. I don't get along with you.
That one bad
bad sign you were talking about. Yeah. Here it is.
Train wreck.
Terrible.
Yeah. Train wreck.
Train wreck right here.
Yeah. Okay, so Hollywood, Sun in Aquarius, Ascendant or Rising in Leo, and Moon in Aries. All right, okay.
Totally.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally. Sun in Aquarius. Okay, so I'm always fascinated with Aquarius because they're the most, usually, extremely intelligent. Now, let me say this. Let me classify that.
Okay, okay.
Intelligence comes in a lot of forms.
True.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily mean
book smart intelligence. Okay. It can be very inventive, can be very conceptual, good with abstract things and ideas. Usually, out of all of the signs, I find Aquarius to be the weirdest. And in a good way.
Weirdest, like personalities?
Yeah. Quirky. Mm-hmm. Quirky. Particularly a woman Aquarius, a female Aquarius. It's an air sign. Okay. So any of the air signs have a natural ability in thought process, thinking, anything mental, communication, speaking, that type of thing. Concepts, ideas. You already have that because you're an air sign. But doubly because you're Aquarius, you are able, more or less, to take ideas and really make them your own. Like if they were inventors, most of them would be Aquarius. If there were people that kind of were right on the fringe of society, they're Aquarius, okay? But again, there's a lot of brilliance in these people. Like Aquarius people have an oddity to them that some people really love, or they're just like, I don't really get that person. I just don't get that person, you know?
That's why we brought her on.
Well, you have a quirky sense of humor. I mean, there's things that you just think are hilarious, right?
True.
That's
yeah,
true.
Okay.
I'll say, I don't know anybody that thinks, I think everybody knows you, loves you, you know?
But am I odd?
I don't feel like you're odd. And I think you're smart, too. I mean, she's talking about intelligence.
Yeah. Intelligence is a bit, yeah. I think Aquarius.
I think emotional intelligence. I mean, is that
Because book smart, no, I'm no.
No, when I say intelligent, don't think of, school education out of that. This isn't about that. This is about, like, natural ability, right? Yeah,
understanding.
Yeah, understanding. Like, Aquarius
like humor, back to the oddity, and you're always along for the ride mentally. Like, you know what's going on. Like,
They're quick.
Yeah, you're quick. You're not left behind, like, I don't get it or what's happening. I would say that's a fair...
That's the trait that I love the most about Aquarius. Now, if you're low vibration, right, like the yin and yang, right, it has a tendency to be a little detached because there's a lot of mental activity. They're not the most emotional of people. So these deep feelers right here are actually extremely feminine and masculine, even though it doesn't matter if you're male or female. That's more on the feminine side. And Aquarius is more on the masculine. Sometimes they could be like, they can hear people's emotions and listen to them and say, great, but I kind of don't understand what you're talking about. I just don't feel that, you know? So I could see, like, in a relationship, again, like, you could connect easily intellectually with somebody, but it would take a lot more effort to connect emotionally.
What would you say about that?
In a weird way, I agree with the whole, you know, like the feelings part, like you're the more feminine, like the masculine. I think sometimes I'm married as well.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes have more of this is going to sound weird, like the masculine tendencies versus my husband.
Yeah, and it's energy. Doesn't matter what body we're in. Yeah.
Maybe that's the case. I would say that I think the emotional connection is not hard for you.
I don't
think
so either.
You are very emotionally connected to people.
I feel like I'm empathetic. And like if someone tells me that they're going through this, like I can feel that. It's like, oh man, I'm sorry that, you know, I feel like I have empathy.
That's interesting because Aquarius, the only thing I would say, like there's a slight... The Pisces, like I said, Moon and Pisces and Aquarius, the thing they have in common there, even though it's water in this air, is that Aquarius are also big believers in, like, we are all connected, right? Like that, you know, Pisces feels it more, Aquarius believes in it. So it comes from a different vantage point a little bit. Pisces believe, like, really feels that connection, and the Aquarius is like, this is how it should be. I mean, and your Moon is in Aries, which is not a sensitive sign to be in for your Moon side. That is interesting to me, that you connect emotionally with people. So that I would ask you, when people speak to you or like they talk to you emotionally and you say you feel it, Are you feeling it because you believe in it? Like, you believe in what they're saying? Like, again, there's like Aquarius has this kind of like greater good, kind of believe in the greater good. But feeling it, like these two, I think, really feel it. If you read something in the news, could actually feel pretty depressed about something that's happening out in the world and feel it. Really, like I don't have that. And I know I don't have that. I can empathize. Oh, that's a terrible tragedy. But this guy would feel it. Like, he would shut down for a day.
Not to that extreme, but I know what you're talking about, but nothing to that level.
But the moon in Aries that you have is a fire, and then with the air and the fire, so you have the very mental kind of capacity. I think that's where you would connect the most. The moon in Aries is similar. He's a moon in Sag, which is fire sign too, is the driver, okay? Moon in Aries women particularly, they're not easily swayed. They're like, no.
Stubborn?
Yeah, but it's more not even a stubbornness. It's more like, I know what I want, and either give it to me or move over. You know, they're strong, emotionally strong. But can be, like I said, not as sensitive. Am I right?
Again, this is my own, I guess this is my, I feel like I'm a good listener. I like to listen to people, and I feel like people like to talk to me and tell me things.
Yeah.
And I would feel that if I were not a sensitive person, that wouldn't be the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, I'm honored if someone wants to tell me something that's going on in their life that's difficult or whatnot, and I want to be there for them. And what I'm hearing is just like, I can just be like, oh, that sucks. Too bad. Move along.
I mean, there's no sign that's like an asshole. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, right.
It's more of, like I said, it's more of the internal quality of to what level you're really feeling something.
So my question there is, if something bad happens, are you the type of person to follow up a couple days later and be like, hey, you know, just wanted to check in on you, how you doing? Or is it something that you just, at the time you were present, you listened to what they had to say and then just move on to a next one?
I think it depends on the situation. Sure.
It's a good,
I can speak from personal experience recently. You are definitely the type to follow up. You did that with my daughter when she was having migraines, and then you texted me like a day or so later wondering how she was doing. You know what I mean? Like, I'd say you're very invested in conversations when people start opening up to you. And
you're great at conversations.
But you're a very good listener.
Well, I like to think I'm a good listener. And again, I don't know. But I believe that I do care. And maybe I don't feel it like to the degree they do. But I feel like I'm still invested. And I care about, I don't know. When I hear that, I think of like insensitive and doesn't care.
I wouldn't look at it that way. No, I'm a fire sign too. And I'm very empathic, but I don't take on sensitivity, meaning like one, it would take a lot for someone to offend me. It probably wouldn't take as much for him, let's say. So that kind of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And then also, like he said, not that you don't care, but those emotions don't sit on you like in this place of churning and mm-hmm. having to deal with it and, you know, where you feel like you have to address it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just rolls mm-hmm. off your back a bit more.
Yeah. And the moon in Aries is a very strong placement in the sense of like women like that get shit done. They are doers. They're doers. The Aries is the first sign in the chart, meaning in the whole horoscope, meaning that they're the drivers. They're the ones that move things. So a lot of passion there.
I don't know what you're feeling about the reading so far, but in our previous experience with my wife and I, she is a Leo, however, does not represent a lot of the Leo qualities. And we actually tried to decipher that for a while.
Yeah.
Because Leo's very...
Like she had the ascendant Leo like he does.
But she was very quiet and very mm-hmm. introverted and basically the opposite of what mm-hmm. a Leo definition would be. Mm-hmm. So
right. And then I think we looked at aspecting, which I don't have that. Like what aspects, because sometimes things modify Leo placement.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, you've done a bunch of these, obviously, I'm assuming, and can people just be, you know, we're talking about believing in something because it's part of greater cycles, right? In my head, I'm thinking of like a giant clock with all these gears, right? Mm-hmm. If you think of the universe and existence, like working in this order, this fashion, that being part of a certain cycle has proclivity to be in a certain way, right? Yeah. But then you find people where you're like, that doesn't make any sense at all. And then are we just looking to try to explain away?
Yeah.
Or do you ever just say like, oh, I don't know, man, this is normally how people fit in and it doesn't always work.
And as much as we see it's a
well-designed, finely tuned clock, we don't quite totally understand how it works yet.
Well, I will say I haven't had much experience with people being like, this seems like a different person than me, you know? Mm-hmm. I felt
wow, that's really me and that's really Kramer.
But there are, I'd be interested, like when she says that, then it draws me in. I'm like, oh, I want to really look at your chart, because like I said, this is one layer.
Sure.
And you have to look at what aspects things.
Sure.
And there could be some modification in that, right?
And you did say she was odd.
I did.
That's fair.
I mean, again, general Sun and Aquarius, right? Like those are the highlight traits that I feel like those people are. I wouldn't ever say, oh, you don't care. I don't think that there's any sign in a chart that's like not caring. It's just kind of what your personality, how it moves through the world, how you move through the world.
You have the indifference moon.
In 3 days, she's not going to care about this.
Totally. <Yeah. laughs>
Well, I hope I didn't offend you. Kidding. You did not offend me. You did not offend
you're
me.
You're just delivering the news.
Yeah, you're just the messenger, right?
Yeah.
And your ascendant is Leo, like his. So that's that rising, which you have. So you have fire and air in your chart. Very different than these guys. So fire and air is mainly fire is about passion and you're quick. Like I said, you're quick up here, but also quick to do things. Like
impulsive.
Can be impulsive, but very, like, there's a restlessness to fire signs. Like, they like change. They like things moving. They like, again, they're the drivers. They're the ones that get things done. They drive people.
The fast drivers.
Let's get moving, guys. Let's go on this adventure. Let's make things happen. You want to do a podcast? I'll make it happen. They make sure things are moving. That's what they're good for. They're not sitting, maybe, a lot of times, with processing the feelings of things. You know, that's not their job. Mm-hmm. That's your job, mm-hmm. You know?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For processing.
I'll process. No, I think parts of your reading were pretty accurate, and parts of it, I don't know. Until you dig deeper into this.
Well, out of the three of us, for sure, I feel like it doesn't describe me, but parts do. Like, I'm stubborn. I'm super stubborn.
That's the Aries. Aries are very stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, like, a moon in Aries, especially a woman, would be offended when you wouldn't think they'd be offended. Like, they're the person that are sensitive about things that you're like, wait, what? Like, that's
like
what
that
you...
that would offend
that's
me?
What you're offensive... Like, that's what's offensive to you? That's what you would cry about? And, like, but other things are... Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. You know, like, it's like there's this oddity there. True. Like,
I think there's some of that.
Yeah. You know? I would agree.
Because you hang around with a lot of jokesters, and sometimes, you know, we joke, and then all of a sudden you'll be like, and I think you feel a little... It seems like you got a little offended sometimes by certain...
Or you're just exhausted by the jokesters.
Really? Well, she will never be mentally exhausted because she's a Sun of Aquarius. So they got mental capacity for days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure.
Wait, what's my north node?
North node, Sagittarius. Okay, so the opposite of Sagittarius, your south node is a Gemini. So what you bring from your past life to here is you were great with information, okay? Back in, let's say, your past life. You were the person that analyzed and... maybe was a scientist, maybe accumulated a lot of data and went through it and understood it. So you're probably a very good researcher. Probably it's probably very easy for you to extrapolate information very quickly from people, from things, from, like, you just are very good with information. Communication is in there too. So your maybe you're a really good writer. Maybe you are a good speaker. So anything that has to do with communicating, that's natural. Now, moving to your north node is not as natural, but you are always curious and wanting, is the Sagittarius part, okay? The Sagittarius is about not information anymore. Sagittarius is about philosophy, spirituality, larger concepts about humanity and our connections and what makes bigger concepts of life and ideas. You might be very drawn to that. You don't feel comfortable in an area. It doesn't feel like it's the type of information that you are good at, but you're very drawn to it, you know, like mysticism would be one. Anything that had to do with religion. The side of Sagittarius is that you also would love if you were more of an adventurer. You would love if you could go out and learn about the world, like be out in the world, travel, do things so you can glean all of this information from people and cultures. Like, that's what you would be drawn to do. But your Gemini, which you're comfortable with, is, you know, think of the scientist behind the computer that's good with sitting there and getting all the information. That's the Gemini. The Sagittarius is out in the world learning about it. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense. I'm sorry. Okay. I was looking at what he was doing.
No, my mom was calling.
Oh.
Let's take that call.
Let's put her on with inner arrow.
She wants to know her. She wants her reading. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Gemini, should we quick wrap up then? One last one. We got a hat, a shot, and this might be a two-parter.
I'm a talker.
Yeah, no, this has been awesome.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I still don't understand. I'm trying to how have people collected this data? It obviously goes back thousands of years. You tell me.
Yeah, I mean,
through observation, cultures.
I guess I've never really looked in the history of astrology. Yeah, I think it's been thousands of years. I mean, the Egyptians did it for sure.
This is because I like to know how things work in philosophy.
Hollywood compiled all that information for you.
But
I cried about it. And I cried.
You processed it.
I processed it and
I got it done.
But I mean, if you think of there was always the high priestess or the shaman or like in any culture, right? Like something in those. And all of this stuff was pre-religion even. Humanity studied the stars and cycles and the cosmos way before religion was kind of set up.
Right. So it's the beginning.
Yeah, it's the beginning.
So I found out I was a double Gemini, and I'll let inner.
That's like four people.
About your one sign that might be negative characteristics that belong to that.
No, I don't want anyone leaving this group thinking that they have all these negative characteristics. That's not the case. It's that people are complex, and there's like the balance of things. Right. You can't
yin and yang.
No one's perfect either.
Yeah, it's not about being perfect. Perfect. It's about being interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what makes everyone up, you know? Yeah. Like, again, you do care. See? Hollywood, you do care.
Well,
doesn't cry about it later.
That's right. Yeah. Or that to Kramer.
Yeah. Or she might cry about something that you had no idea.
That's right.
You're crying about that.
Right.
What?
Kramer, stop crying.
I can't stop. But yes, double Gemini. You are Sun Gemini. It is Sun Gemini, Moon Gemini, but I was right before. The rising is Virgo.
Oh.
So the Sun, Moon, which is, I guess there's not as much conflict there. That's good. So your internal and your identity and your personality are very in sync. You know, there's not much conflict.
You are what you are. You just,
yeah.
You're
what you see is what you get.
Right, absolutely. You wear it on your sleeve, for sure.
That's something.
Pretty authentic. Right?
But double Gemini, you know, like what I said, I think, to you earlier, like chatty, like just talk. Mm-hmm. wants a lot of activity, a lot of information. Usually like flitting around, like social, just needs a lot of mental activity at all times. Like can't just be.
Good Lord, that's you.
That is dead on.
You know, so.
Not three jobs. I think I'd like to have four jobs. I think I'd like to do four things at one time.
Mm-hmm. The great, like I said, the easy part for you is that there's not a lot of compromise between your inner world and your outer world, right? Like, it's like the same. But your rising is Virgo, which is very different. That's where what people see when they first meet you, or maybe how, I think we talked about a little bit, like how you are, like your work personality, like how you are at work unless people really get to know you really well, is the Virgo, which is completely different than Gemini. Gemini is fast and all over the place, and Virgos are like very slow, methodical, want everything in its place.
Totally true.
Yeah.
I think that's dead on. I really do, because you do, when people first meet you, you've got more of the seriousness to you and this kind of. And then when you get to know you, it's like, oh my gosh, have you met S2H?
Yeah, Virgos are like, they're serious business. You know, like they're the organizers of the zodiac. So they are very good at categorizing, you know, but.
Organizing podcasts.
Well, this is the Gemini, man. This is the Gemini stuff. This is like broadcast, you know, like information, conversation. Talking, like that's all Gemini. But you know, maybe setting up this and putting it in its right place and making sure everything is just so, that's the Virgo.
Dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what are you?
I am a Sagittarius Sun and a Moon in Capricorn and a Libra rising. So I got a lot of
that's deep
weird stuff going on. Yeah.
What's the primary trait for you then?
The quick version is the Sun Sag is super happy, optimistic, ready for an adventure at all times, into philosophy and higher knowledge type of stuff. The moon in Capricorn is very reserved, emotionally serious, formal, doesn't wear your heart on your sleeve kind of person. And then the rising Libra can meet someone and be friends with them in a minute. Very likable. You know, people like them right away. So
you are very likable.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I just want to give you a hug when this is
That's the Sagittarius.
It's been amazing. Right? I mean, cool. Does everybody kind of agree? This is so kind of
very interesting.
I can start one last question. Have you found your calling then? Do you see yourself doing this for the rest of your life? Does this feel like at home for you?
Yes, absolutely. Though I have my moments of doubt as a human, practical human, I absolutely feel like this is in my North Node about what I should be doing with my gift, is sharing what I feel like are these messages that I'm getting. I don't know where they're from and I can't answer that, but they seem to be helping people. And that, to me, that's all that matters.
I can actually see you coming back again down the road.
Great. I love it.
Yeah.
And we do a tarot card one or something at that time.
Oh, yeah, this has just been fascinating.
That's a different experience.
There's so many things that we can talk about.
I have my final question.
Yeah.
I want to know what numbers I should pick for the lottery.
Man, you know, I wish I knew that too, because then I would play it myself. Well, you know, your Aquarius mind, I mean, you could probably figure that out faster than me.
That's right. I'm intelligent.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, but I always wonder that, you know, you hear that people be like, well, people can predict or psychic. Yeah. Why can't they predict the lottery?
I know. There was a show, what's his name? I forget the guy's name, but Seatbelt Psychic. It was like on Bravo or something. And he's a medium. It was very different. He would get asked that question all the time.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
And I would watch him. He's fascinating talking to these people who have passed. But he says, the way he would always say is that's not the people that have passed. That's not what they're here to tell you. Mm. There's a more important thing.
So then, I mean, is it saying that there's no randomness in the universe? I mean, sometimes it's just because you can't.
Well, you got to believe in free will, right? So what I always tell people with tarot particularly is, because people get stuck like, oh, that's going to happen. And I always say, well, this is energy. This is energy based. Energy moves and changes all the time. So whatever decision you make when you leave this room is going to affect everything else. Just me talking to you right now is making you change a decision that you wouldn't have done before we talked. Mm-hmm. So that's what's like...
Butterfly effect.
Yeah, it's what's changing your trajectory, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't believe in the whole predestined thing. Like, I believe that, you know, we have paths, definitive lessons that we need to learn in this lifetime, and they'll come to you in different ways. I don't think the path is determined.
Very
big,
good.
Big fan of free will.
Well, thank you. We're going to end with our screwball.
Yes.
Yep. Last screwball shot of the day.
Awesome.
Clink,
awesome.
Clink, clink, clink.
Cheers.
That's plastic cups clinking.
And as always, going in the magic closet, you get one of our Zucanoo trucker hats.
Yes, I love it. Thank you. I love the dog on it, too.
So perfect. The story behind that, if you look into it, Zoo was his dog's name, Zeus, and Lou is his daughter, and there's a whole story behind it. So that's where the name of the company came from.
I love it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, and you've been incredible.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. I loved being here. This was an
super
awesome,
fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Google Talk. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon, and we will talk to everybody soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Monthly Trainwreck. Please subscribe and listen for our next extraordinary interview by 5 ordinary individuals. Also, check out our website at monthlytrainwreck.com. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. We are soon to be your favorite podcast.